The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is happening in the Old Testament book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, that is similar to what is happening in Romans 10, 13? Stay tuned to find out as Catherine Wright and Ken Yates continue their flyover series of the book of Romans all this week. This is Grace in Focus, the ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, and we are very glad that you have joined us today as we return to the book of Romans in chapter 10. The Grace Evangelical Society's website, faithalone.org, has many things to offer you in terms of resources, books, blogs, videos, and any episode of this podcast since its beginning a few years ago. Find out about our quarterly magazine, which is free, and it has the same name as this podcast, Grace in Focus. So we invite you to go there, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Well, let's get underway with our discussion today. Here are father-daughter duo, Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We are continuing our study through the book of Romans, and we hope you've enjoyed it. For those who have been following us, you know that we are in chapters 9, 10, and 11. As a matter of fact, we're picking up here in chapter 10, starting in verse 13. It is a section in the book where Paul is talking about the nation of Israel and the history of the nation of Israel, and what does the gospel that he preaches to both Gentiles and Jews, what does it mean for the nation of Israel? And is God done with the nation? God is not done with him. There is a future. There's coming a day when Israel is going to be saved. Catherine, why don't you give a review of, in the book of Romans, what we've been saying about the word saved?
Well, also the word gospel. We've been arguing a couple things. First, the word gospel just means good news. And so when you see the word gospel in any passage in the New Testament, you need to ask, what piece of good news does that particular book have in mind? Because it could refer to a variety of things. So in the case of Romans, what we've been arguing is that it is the good news that the power of the Spirit lives within the believer and that they can live righteously through that power. This is good news for the believer, which we argued if you followed our series all the way back in chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church, and this is gospel information to them.
So for believers.
For believers, correct. Salvation then follows that same line that as believers, we can experience the consequences of sin in our lives if we live in a legalistic way. In particular, this will result in the wrath of God in our lives. And so if we wish to be saved or delivered from that, we need to walk in the Spirit. And so salvation in the book of Romans is also different from receiving eternal life. This is a type of deliverance that is being offered to the believer as they walk in the Spirit.
Bob Wilkin has done a study on the word saved or salvation. And if I remember correctly, he says that like 70% of the time in when the word saved or salvation occurs in the New Testament, it is not talking about salvation from hell.
Yeah, and he argues that in the Old Testament, it never refers.
Yes, like for example, in the Psalms, correct, when we read about salvation all the time.
Right.
What Kath and I are talking about here is very, very important, not just for the book of Romans as a whole, but here in chapter 10, because as we're going to get into verse 13, these verses are almost always taken in gospel tracts and in sermons and in seminary classes. Saved and gospel are almost always taken as saved from hell, from the lake of fire.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to open up just a regular gospel presentation, a message to tell unbelievers how to be saved, you're going to hear Romans 10 quoted.
That's
pretty
right.
Much universally.
And I would just point out just the way the beginning of chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, you can see it. It's clear that he is talking about Israel, because notice what he says. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. But even there, people see the word saved and they think, oh, well, Paul's just talking about he just wishes they would believe and be saved from hell.
Yeah.
But as we've seen in the book of Romans, that's not what the word saved means.
And this is a huge part of how to interpret the Old Testament. you know, what does it mean that the nation will be saved as a corporate entity, talking about the deliverance of the nation of Israel? If we don't make that distinction, then it's really, it makes the Old Testament extremely muddy.
That is a great point to make as we look at verse 13, mm-hmm. because Paul quotes from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And so what does he mean when he quotes from the Old Testament, when he says in verse 13, and I'm sure that every Christian has heard this verse and read it in gospel tracts and heard evangelists say it. I'll just read it. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mm-hmm. And this is from Joel chapter 2. First of all, what did Joel mean? Who was he talking to in Joel chapter 2? He was talking to the nation of Israel. And then what is the salvation that he's talking about? And in Joel 2, he's talking about the last days. Mm. There is a salvation. And
when you say last days, explain that, I think.
Well, in the last days here, we're talking about the tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation, right before the Lord returns.
Right, to earth.
Right, right. To set up his kingdom.
Right. The reason I stopped you is because some passages refer to the last days as in, like, we are in the last days right now. But
right.
What we're saying is specifically the last 7 years right before the Lord returns.
Right.
Yeah.
What we hear people say is, if you don't want to go to hell, you have to call upon the name of the Lord. And of course, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think I typically hear it as you need to know you need a savior, right? You need to call upon him as your savior, as your Lord, or even because I am a sinner, I need to be delivered.
Right.
Something along those lines.
And it's interesting that very, very, very rarely do you hear these evangelists or these gospel tracts talk about that this is primarily talking to the nation of Israel. And so in Joel, who is it that calls upon the name of the Lord in Joel chapter 2? And right before the Lord returns, who calls upon him? It's not unbelieving Jews. It is the believing nation that calls upon the name of the Lord. It is the believing nation that will be delivered from the wrath of God that is going to be poured out on the earth in the last 7 years during the tribulation period.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've appreciated Free Grace teachers have pointed out is, how can you call upon him if you don't believe in him first?
That's right.
Even in the Psalms, going back to the Psalms, David calling upon the Lord. Well, it's believers who call upon the Lord because they believe in him already, and they're calling on him to deliver them, right? From his, in David's case, enemies. Even in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul talks about how they call upon the Lord.
That's right. To the church at Corinth and to all those who call upon the name of the Lord.
Right.
Talking about believers.
So in all these examples, we see then that it is the believer who calls upon the Lord, not an unbeliever to be saved, but a believer who needs salvation.
How confusing is this to unbelievers, certainly.
Yeah.
Call upon the name of the Lord, you won't go to hell. Okay, what does that mean? Do I just say, Lord? Do I say, Lord, save me? Or like you said, is it, okay, I just got to know that I'm a sinner? Well, that's not what Paul says.
And I also think we see the fruit of this confusion in altar calls.
Sure.
In raising your hand, because it's seeking some sort of action.
So not only is it confusing to unbelievers, people in the church, they don't know what this means. I will tell you a personal story. When I was 12, I became a believer, and I remember asking a deacon in the church, what does this mean? Because there was a banner in the church of Romans 10:13, and I couldn't figure out what that meant. I had believed John 3:16 a few weeks earlier. And so I went to the deacon and I asked him, I said, what does that mean? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord? Because I wondered, well, did I do that when I believed? I was already confused. And I still remember his answer. He said, well, you call upon the name of the Lord when you walk down the aisle.
Oh, so like what I was saying.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I also think another common response to that question would be, you need to say the sinner's prayer.
Sure.
Right. There's another, you need to say it out loud.
Yeah. And of course, in the Gospel of John, nowhere in the New Testament do we see any unbeliever come into faith by saying a sinner's prayer, or certainly not walking down the aisle.
Sure.
But you mentioned a few minutes ago that it is the believer who calls upon the name of the Lord. And if anybody doubts that, all you got to do is look at the next verse.
That's right.
Verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed. Mm-hmm. So you see here that the believing comes first.
Yep.
And then you call upon the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. This fits perfectly with Joel chapter 2 and the nation of Israel. At the end of the tribulation, all of Israel will be believers. Unbelieving Jews will have died, either through the plagues or by whatever means in the tribulation. And the believing nation will call upon him, and the Lord is going to deliver them from their enemies and from the wrath that is being poured out upon the earth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This fits in with what saved means in Romans, mm-hmm. fits in the gospel, being saved from the wrath. So Paul says here in verse 14 that it is the believer who calls upon the name of the Lord. And you can see it through the rest of verse 14 and verse 15. And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? A person hears, mm-hmm. and then they believe, and then they call upon the name of the Lord.
It's like a ladder. Like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
That's
like,
right.
We know which one came first. First they had to hear, then they believe, and then they call.
And even though this section is talking to the nation of Israel, the application is for anybody who hears today, they believe, and then they have the privilege of calling upon the name of the Lord for, in the context of the book of Romans, deliverance from wrath. I need Christ to live through me to save me from the consequences of sin. And this is something that the believer does. So the preacher is sent. The preacher preaches. The people hear. The people believe. That's when they receive eternal life. Mm-hmm. And then they can call upon the name of the Lord. And by the way, they can call upon him as a church, like, for example, 1 Corinthians 1.
You know, we've been arguing that this is about the nation of Israel, but there is an application for us that we can call upon him as a corporate church as well for deliverance.
Exactly. So don't use these verses to tell the unbeliever what he has to do.
Yes,
call upon
don't.
The name of the Lord. If you're going to use these verses, just say the part that says believe. Believe in Jesus for eternal life. And remember, keep grace in focus.
Thank you both for that great discussion. Did you miss it that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, we continue in Romans chapter 10, verses 19 through 11, verse 2. Is the church now taking Israel's place? What about Israel in the future? Join us next time on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.